prayed in various situations. He prayed blessings upon food before they ate. In John 6:11, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he gave thanks to God for the food before he distributed it. In Matthew 26:26, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and with the cup also, before he passed it around, he blessed that as well. Jesus made time for personal prayer, even with his busy life. In Mark 1:35, it says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. He was purposeful. He went somewhere where he could be alone with his Father and pray. In Luke 5:16, it states that Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. This was a regular practice for Jesus. It is important for us to often find time to be alone with our Father and go to Him in prayer. One good way to do this is to have a time each day that you try to set aside in order to pray. Maybe it's in the morning when you first get up, or maybe it's at night before you go to bed, or maybe it's during your lunch break. Find a time that works well and make that a regular time of prayer in addition to those times where you just stop and pray throughout your day. And not just praying to thank God for your meal, but sharing with God what is happening in your day and what you or others need help with, as well as remembering to thank God for the many blessings that He has brought into your life. God is always ready to listen to what you have to say, and He always is ready to help us, although He may not always help the way that you want or expect Him to. Now, another time Jesus prayed is before the important decision of choosing the 12 disciples. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us He went out to the mountain to pray, and all night He continued in prayer to God. There was an important decision coming up, an important event coming up in Jesus' life, so He took a whole night just to pray to the Father about that. We ought to pray before making major decisions in our life that God will help us to make the right decision, to open up the right doors or close the doors that maybe we shouldn't be going down. We need to bring prayer into all aspects of our lives instead of just jumping in on our own as we are tempted to do. I'm reminded in Nehemiah chapter 2 where we see Nehemiah actually take a brief moment before answering the king to pray. He says, "Then the king said to me, 'What are you requesting?' So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it.'" You see, Nehemiah knew what he wanted, but he still took time before answering the king to say a brief prayer, perhaps to phrase his request properly, or perhaps for the king to heed his request, maybe a little bit of both there. But he certainly brought God into the equation through prayer before answering the king. Jesus also prayed in times of trouble and distress. When Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew to the mountains alone to pray. When the time was approaching for Jesus to be captured, he spent the entire night praying to God. You see that in Mark 14:32 and following. Jesus was feeling overwhelmed, so he took time to pray. Have you ever felt overwhelmed, like too much was going on, or too many bad things have happened to you, or just like you needed a lot of help to get through? Whenever we feel overwhelmed, it is good to go to God, our God, in prayer, to bring our Heavenly Father into the situation. Maybe as a person in school, maybe your schoolwork, you're feeling overwhelmed with that, or maybe at your job you are feeling overwhelmed. Take time to pray. Maybe with people being mean or hurtful to you or making life harder on you, you start to feel overwhelmed. Take time to pray. Maybe you're feeling, or maybe you're sick or in pain and you feel overwhelmed with that. Take time to pray. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by loneliness. Take time to pray. Maybe you are feeling overwhelmed with temptation to do the things that are wrong. Take time to pray. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by your family. Take time to pray. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed with feelings of grief or hurt or sadness. Take time to pray. Now, our God is omnipotent. That's just a fancy way of saying He is all powerful. The Bible tells us that God can do far more than all we ask or imagine, and we can probably imagine quite a bit. But He can do even more than we are able to imagine Him doing. Because God is so powerful, we ought to come to God whenever we're facing a problem, whether it's a small problem or a huge problem. Nothing is too small or too big for our God. Trust that God can help you through all the things and pray to Him about them, and God will be with you and help you. Sometimes He fixes the problems, and sometimes He strengthens us to make it through. In the garden, God did not answer Jesus' prayer by taking away the suffering as Jesus asked. As He said, may this cup pass from me. But rather by sending an angel to strengthen Jesus, as Luke's gospel account records. God does not simply say no to our heartfelt prayers for help, even when He does not answer them like we want. Sometimes He helps us by giving us the strength to make it through those situations. An important aspect of Jesus' prayer in the garden was saying, not my will, but what you will, as Art brought up just a moment ago. We need to learn our prayers to pray like Jesus. We should pray, not my will, Lord, but as you will. Because sometimes God has a reason for us to go through bad things, and we may not understand it, but God will always help us when we put our faith in Him. We need to realize in our prayers that God's will may be different than our will, and let God know we are okay with it being a different will. But of course, we got to be okay, right? Because it's not up to us. But let Him know that we realize that we acknowledge that. We realize that God may have a different plan than us. It's not that we are giving God permission. He does what He's going to do anyway. But as a manner of submission to God and our part being accepting that His will may include some pain that we need to face. I want to briefly talk about praying like Jesus. And we're going to look at the model prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. His teaching there is paralleled in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. So let's consider the aspects of prayer as components that we should include in our prayers from Matthew 6. So let's go ahead and read it first. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So the first component we see here is to address God as our Father in heaven and to give Him honor and respect and praise. Give glory to God and speak of His greatness in prayer. Speak of His holiness. Speak of His power. Speak of His character. Speak to who God is in a meaningful way. The psalmists give us many examples, such as how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are a rock, my shield, a fortress. You are worthy of my praise. God Most High, exalted above all, the God of wonders, and so on and so on. So many different ways that the psalmist address God and His majesty and give Him honor and praise. Take time in your prayer to honor and praise God. Also take time in your prayers to pray for God's kingdom and increased influence in this world. Praying your kingdom come is not just a prayer for the first century church. Rather, praying your kingdom come is about we desire for His reign to increase in the hearts of the people. There is a sense in which God's kingdom has come in His church, but we're praying for His kingdom to increase, to continue to grow, for it to be experienced in this world around us. Since this is just an outline and not meant to be repeated word for word, you can find a way to incorporate this in your prayers that relates to that message. In many ways that are more specific, such as help our church to grow in following your will, God, or help your church to grow in number, help the lost to know you, and maybe even praying for specific people that you know that are lost that need to know Jesus. And ask for God's will to be done, seeking that we know and follow God's will, both individually and as a church, as well as for others to do His will. And then ask also for the things that you need. Philippians 4:6 says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In Matthew 7, 7 through 11, it talks about God gives good things to those who ask. He is our Father who provides us with the things that we need. Pray for daily bread, focusing on the present. Don't be too concerned about the future and the future problems. In Matthew 6, 34, Jesus said, each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry so much about the distant future. Pray for God and ask for the help with the daily struggles that we face and our daily needs. And then also we need to ask for forgiveness in our prayers. And be specific when you can about specific things that you realize that you've done wrong that you need forgiveness for. And even ask for help realizing your sins at times. Because sometimes we forget, we don't realize the things that we do that are wrong. Ask God to help you realize the things that you've done wrong. And ask for forgiveness from sins, maybe for those sins you don't even realize you've committed. Say, maybe I've done something wrong, God, that I don't realize. Please forgive me of that. And pray for help forgiving others who sin against us and help showing love and mercy to others. When we pray to God to forgive us, we need to forgive others. And we need to forgive quickly and fully and without holding previous sins against others. It's a rather dangerous prayer to pray to God, forgive me as I forgive those who sin against me, because that means we have to forgive those that we sin against. We're already acknowledging that. So ask God for help in that manner. Also pray for God for help in your spiritual battles. Desire God's help. Really desire His help, because it can be easy to give lip service to that and pretend like we want His help. And even our minds think we want His help, but really we want to continue in sin. So really desire for God's help and ask Him for help in temptation. And seek help in specific situations, dealing with specific sins that you are struggling with. And realize that with every temptation, God provides a way of escape if you will just look for that way of escape. And ask God for help in finding that way of escape if you're struggling to find the way of escape. And when that way of escape is presented to you, take it. And finally, acknowledge God's dominion. The last part of that is, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Recognize that God has the power to answer your prayer and that God is in control. Show your faith in God. Remind yourself that God can do amazing things and He can work wonders in your life through this acknowledgement of God's power and dominion that lasts forever. And the word amen at the end of that just means let it be so. And that's our acknowledgement that we are wanting the things that we're praying for to be so. And briefly, for the last part here, I want to go over Jesus' prayer in the garden, John 17. We won't have time to read it all. You can go home. That's your homework assignment for this week. Go home and read John 17. I'm just going to reference a little bit about what He says there. Jesus did not just pray for Himself in the garden. He also prayed for His followers. And not just the 12, but for all those who would follow Him in years and years to come. He prayed for us in that garden as He was about to go to the cross. He certainly had His own problems to pray about and to focus on, yet He took time to pray for us and the rest of His disciples, leaving an example for us to follow. Even in the midst of our struggles and our trials, we need to remember to pray for others and pray for the church and other kingdom matters. Specific things that Jesus asked for, there's four things I want to mention real brief, and the time is yours, the lesson is yours. That we would be in the world, but protected from its influence and protected from Satan's influence. That we would be sanctified through His truth. Now, sanctified means separate from common use and dedicated to God. It also means holy or pure or different from this world. Jesus' desire for us to be sanctified includes both meanings of this word. He wants us to be pure, visibly living a different, more godly lives than those in the world, to shine a light into the world around us. And show Christ to those who are living in a dark world and to bring people to know God. Jesus prayed also for us to be unified with one another and with God so that the world would believe in God. Jesus prayed that we would have the love of God within us. We should do our part to strive to fulfill these things and pray for others in the church in a similar manner that Christ prayed. And remember to pray often. Pray not my will but yours be done. And pray a prayer that follows that outline that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 6. Thank you.